Good afternoon.
Bears fans, this is Take the North.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Welcome into the Take the North podcast presented by Odyssey. I am Dan Wiederer, pleased to be joined today by producer Adam Studzinski as we flash forward into week 8, Chicago Bears, Washington Commanders, Sunday afternoon, 3:05 or 3:25, not sure. Afternoon slate, Chicago time in Washington, D.C. Studs, how you doing?
Good. It's 3:25. It's the big national window game. The one that they always delay that one. So 3:25 on Sunday. Can't wait.
Big stage game. Obviously, everyone was anticipating the possible matchup between Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels, the number one and number two overall pick in this last spring's draft. That'll get us into our opening drive.
It's time for the opening drive.
Okay, so Studs, the word out of Washington on Thursday is that Jaden Daniels has still not returned to the practice field, but I believe in the words of Adam Schefter, the Commanders plan to attempt to try to get him on the field on Friday, which feels to me like a little bit of a chess move to try to keep the Bears guessing a little bit. The ribs injury still has Jaden Daniels out of action, and it seems difficult to believe that a rookie quarterback with so little experience would be able to get by on partial practicing one time during the week of such a big game. What do you think that is going to happen there with the Commanders?
Yeah, so I have been thinking basically since we found out Wednesday that Jaden Daniels didn't practice, and since they said before that Monday, Dan Quinn said that he was going to be week to week, I was thinking then that I don't think Jaden Daniels is going to play against the Bears. Let's start with Monday with Dan Quinn. Typically, when you label a player week to week, that means they're probably going to miss a week. And, you know, if they labeled him day to day, I think it would have been different. But then you combine that with the fact that Daniels didn't practice on Wednesday, didn't practice on Thursday. They say, you know, like you said, they're going to try to give him a go on Friday. But even if he's limited on Friday, I think it's going to be really tough to get him out there on Sunday. You know, especially, and here's another giveaway. This is like a small, like, media thing that we follow a trend with. Marcus Mariota spoke at the podium for the Commanders on Wednesday. Typically, the quarterback who speaks at the podium is the guy who's going to start the game. It's very rare that they – I know they, and the NFL rules dictate they have to give you a quarterback during the week, right? So that could just be them making their obligation. But it's very rare, at least in Chicago, that the guy who speaks during the week is the guy who doesn't start the game there.
Well, there's no question. I think when you look at this again from a practical standpoint, the Commanders have to be ready to play this football game on Sunday, and it's very difficult to get, again, a rookie quarterback ready to play with so little practice time, so little on-field work. We'll see what happens Friday, and we'll offer updates as we can. I thought it was notable on Wednesday to hear Caleb Williams questioned on the potential matchup with Jaden Daniels, and I thought his answers were pretty mature. The response is very grounded in terms of his approach to this week. He understands the outside interest. He understands the intrigue of this potential matchup. He understands that for the longest time going forward, he and Jaden Daniels will be linked as the top two picks in the 2024 draft class. But Caleb's got this intense micro focus on what does it take to win this week's game. And who's playing quarterback for the Washington Commanders doesn't affect that. Mm-hmm. And so to listen to him sort of verbalize that in a way that was straightforward but still accommodating, I thought was notable, and another sign of a guy that knows how to lock in on what's important in a week like this.
Yeah, and you know, I've been thinking that the idea that he cares a lot about this game because it's his hometown, I think was something that, like, outside people were kind of putting on him, because I don't think that he, and maybe he does, but from what I've gathered, I don't know if he has this huge connection with, like, oh, his hometown and the Commanders. He said he's been home like a handful of times since he went to Oklahoma.
No doubt.
So I think he's just been so laser focused on his career and what he needs to do to be a great quarterback. Like, he basically said that growing up, he wasn't even a Washington fan. He kind of followed the Packers because he's an Aaron Rodgers guy. So and then, you know, you can, so you kind of drive that forward, and then you can, and then you add in the fact that what you said, he's so locked in, like, he wants to win every game that there is, and the opponent to him is just the next team up. Plus, you know, like we talk about all the time about, you know, this quarterback versus this quarterback. They're never on the field at the same time. And, you know, there are like the back and forth battles that Peyton Manning and Tom Brady had. But like ultimately the quarterback's matchup is against the defense. Yeah. So that's where his focus is going to be. And, you know, whether Jaden Daniels plays or not doesn't affect what he's going to do in the game.
Well, yeah, and Roma Dunze was asked about the storyline as well on Wednesday, and he mentioned that, look, like Jaden Daniels doesn't play safety, and so we don't have to really concern ourselves with his health on the offensive side of the football. And he said, listen, like obviously our offense wants to outscore their offense because that's how you win football games in the NFL, but ultimately you have to keep the main thing the main thing, and the main thing is continuing the momentum that they built in London and before that at Soldier Field against the Panthers. This offense feels like it's found a flow, and so their hope is to continue that. Their hope is that Caleb Williams stays in the groove that he's in, independent of what the Commanders ultimately do at quarterback. The Bears have a mission this weekend, and it's to continue that upward climb and that forward momentum offensively.
Oh yeah, and like that's the thing that I think they should be focused the most on. I mean, you know, because there is an opportunity here on the game, because Washington's defense, it's the secondary, I should say, their defensively, like they haven't played well. I think they're in the bottom 10 of the league when it comes to defending the pass. So it's an opportunity for another big game here. And I actually expect them, and we'll get into this more in our predictions, I expect them to keep things rolling offensively. I don't know if they'll score 30 points again, but I expect them to continue to do well. And I think the biggest question is who has the big game for the receiving core. You know, DJ Moore had an awesome game against Washington last year. And a lot of that was because Washington was so stagnant in their coverage. And they're much less stagnant this year. Dan Quinn has kind of cleaned that up, but they'd still play a lot of man defense. And the Bears have proven over the last 2 weeks that if you're going to play man defense against them, they're going to rip you apart. So like if Washington does, I think I saw a stat earlier this week, they play like 29% man coverage with a single high safety. And I mean, if they're going to do that against the Bears, then the Bears should be able to move the ball fairly well. So again, we'll get into more of that. That's leading my prediction a little bit, but we'll get into that later.
It was clear on Wednesday that DJ Moore was certainly looking forward to the return to Washington, where he had his best game of 2023 with that huge Thursday night performance that he had a year ago. Another homecoming of sorts for Montez Sweat. He'll be going back to Washington almost a year to the day that the Commanders traded him to the Bears and gave his career new life. Since joining the Bears, Montez Sweat signed his second NFL contract, went to his first Pro Bowl. For the first time in his career, studs, he's here in week 7. I guess it's week 8 now, but through 6 games, he's got a winning record. It's never happened in his career before. And so I asked him about that on Thursday afternoon, and he said, yeah, like that's I'm happier. You know, it's just it's fun to be part of a winning team. He did reflect a little bit on what it's going to be like to go back and play at Northwest Stadium, which used to be FedEx Field when he started his career there. And we have some audio of Montez's sentiments as he gets ready to go back and play against the team that drafted him.
I think like any other player would be, there'd be a little offended, but I mean, at the end of the day, I know it's a business, and I understand what comes with that. So I was offended, but I didn't take it personal.
What got you through that or over it, if you are over it?
Yeah, just being around just the guys here. They welcomed me in with open arms. And it was one of my better seasons that year that I got traded. And it was, so I think just being here and the guys welcoming me in just got me well accustomed. I think I'm happy just being somewhere that I'm wanted. So being a place that they want me to be here, where I got a spot. It's a good environment. When you're around guys that you want to play for, you're around coaches that you want to play for, you go harder. I think that's a big part of the game.
In the name of human nature, you had to have circled this game on a schedule, right?
I mean, not necessarily, but it's here now, so we here. You just got to be where your feet are at.
And you want to do damage, right?
I mean, I want to do damage every week. So maybe this week is maybe a little bit motivational, but not. It's just another week.
Just another week. I sort of buy it, Studs. But at the same time, listen, Montez Sweat is not a guy who loves talking to the media, but he's actually very enjoyable to listen to when he does, because he can be expressive. He can be introspective. And I think you heard that there. The very first question, the very first answer we heard there was him being asked, was he offended when he was traded away a year ago and the Commanders were moving in a different direction for obvious reasons. And so you heard the heartfelt response that he gave and the sincerity in his voice. But then I think you also heard his appreciation for where he landed, you know. And I think since he arrived here in Chicago on November 1st a year ago, the trade was on Halloween, that he's found his place, he's found his niche, he's found comfort here, and he's happy to be part of a defense that's playing at a high level. And then in his words, he's looking forward to doing some damage when the opportunity presents itself.
Yeah, and you know, like, all right, so you know, we'll start with like kind of what you were saying there. Now back to Caleb, I believe Caleb doesn't have extra motivation for this game. I don't believe that Montez Sweat when he says that. Like, I think that he has a little something extra in this. It's similar to DJ Moore last season when they played the Panthers for the first time. Like, he kind of played it down, but you knew that he was out to get them last year. I think that Montez Sweat has a, you know, he's like you hear there, he's, you know, kind of talks mellow, like you don't see the anger in his eyes until he's out on the field. But I think he's got, I think he wants to get after them in this game. Like, I think I really think that he, I don't know how angry he was necessarily, but I mean, for him to be shipped off and sent to the Bears like that, I think, you know, I think there's a little edge there. I think there's a little edge. And you know, I shouldn't say shipped off. He ends up, you know, on a team that's on the rise and with a winning record, like you said, for the first time in his career. And I know this is going to kind of, you know, lead us into his next cut here, but like, he's also got an offense that's playing well for basically the first time in his career. And that's I know been really good for him.
Well, and it's not like the Commanders traded him because they didn't believe in his ability. It was a numbers crunch up against the cap a little bit. They have a very talented defensive line, and they could only allocate so many resources to that front group there. And so Montez understands the business of this. He also understands what's building here in Chicago. And you're right. I had an opportunity to circle back with him on an anecdote that Keenan Allen shared with us in the postgame in London, that Montez was getting a little bit antsy at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium because the offense was sustaining so many drives and scoring and staying on the field that Montez was getting restless on the sideline, not having the usual volume of opportunity to go hunt quarterbacks. And so he shared that with Keenan shared it with us. And then we had a chance on Thursday to ask Montez about that feeling of being on a defense that suddenly feels frustrated with his offense because they're doing too well.
Yeah, it's a different type of feeling. Cause I'm used to just three and outs and get back out there. And sometimes it gets frustrating, but you embrace those things. But to be on the other side of things, you're just hungry and you waiting for your opportunity to get back out there and make some plays.
So that's a hungry Montez Sweat looking to do damage on Sunday at Northwest Stadium.
It's got to be such a freeing feeling too. Like while you know, yeah, you want to be out there and you know you want to go out there and make your impact on the game. Like it does, I think at the end of the day, have to be freeing to think like, man, we don't have to do it all ourselves at this point. And you know, Jalen Johnson has talked about this a lot on his regular appearances on The Score on the afternoon show. TJ Edwards just talked about this a little bit too. It's like you know, they have fresher legs, they're not logging as many snaps, and that allows them to make more plays when they're out there because they're not as tired. And you know, I think as the season goes on too, you know, like we've talked before about specifically the defensive line and how they rotate their guys in and out. So hey, look, if you're not out there on the field as much because your offense is moving the ball, that means that the coaches can say, hey, look, maybe we can give our guys an extra series and not have to worry about the rotation as much because we can keep our A guys out there because they're not as tired. So, like, a lot of things start pointing upwards when your offense starts playing well like the Bears have.
It would be great to have two sides of the ball that you feel like you can really lean into and rely on depending on what each game asks. And then we'll see what Sunday has to ask. So with that, let's get into our what to watch for and prediction segment. All right, Studs, you know where we're heading with this. We're going to take a look at three key elements of Sunday's game that we want to look at, and then we'll offer our predictions for what should be a very compelling matchup. Again, 3:25 Sunday. We've got the time right at this point. Bears Commanders at Northwest Stadium. The first thing that I'm looking forward to dialing in on is the continuation of the offensive progress, and specifically, can the Bears and their passing game, that's Caleb Williams, that's Shane Waldron, keep both DJ Moore and Keenan Allen unlocked? We saw both players kind of have very different runs through the month of September. DJ, you know, the subject of much scrutiny as his body language was under investigation when he was experiencing some frustrations and some patience testing moments with a rookie quarterback where there were some obvious disconnects that they couldn't get ironed out in live game action. And then he has his breakout game in week five against Carolina. Goes for 105 yards, two touchdowns, and you say, okay, they finally got DJ unlocked. Then the Bears travel overseas and they go to London. Keenan Allen's foot's feeling better. He gets involved. He's making big catches on third down, big catches on fourth down. Oh, by the way, he scores two touchdowns on two beautiful balls where he was in perfect sync with the quarterback, with Caleb Williams. And you say, okay, Keenan Allen is unlocked. Now you have an opportunity to have this offense being at full strength with Keenan, DJ, Cole, DeAndre, Rome. Now you start to see the vision of what the Bears were trying to put together when they assembled this arsenal of talent. And I'm sure you're looking forward to, just as much as I am, seeing what those two primary receivers are capable of in a matchup against the Commanders.
Oh yeah, most definitely. And you know, like I talked about earlier, like the Commanders secondary is it's not as bad as the previous two teams the Bears have played. I mean, no one's as bad as the Panthers right now. And the Jaguars are, you know, don't have a good defense either. The Commanders are a step up, but they still have a secondary that can be exposed, especially when you bring out as many weapons as the Bears have. So, like, I'm really, along with all this, I'm really curious to see the way that Caleb distributes everything, because I think he's been, like, we found out from a report from Stacey Dales after or during the London game, maybe, about how Caleb was very intent on, before the game against the Jags, that I need to get Keenan Allen going.
Sure.
Like, and he goes out and he gets him two touchdowns. Now, I don't think that Caleb is one to force the ball to people. I think he's very much going to play within, like, you know, like, look, if this play is designed to go a certain way, like, I'm going to follow where the play goes. I'm not going to try and force it to a guy just to force it to a guy. But so that's why I'm curious to see, like, who. I think somebody's going to have a big game. And I think it's just a matter of who. And, like, I think that's a really, like I don't, when's the last time, Dan, we had a Bears offense that we're sitting here and be like, who's going to have the big game? Not just hoping that somebody has a big game.
It was 2013, and it, to my recollection, right? Like, it really was that group with Forte and Marshall and Jeffrey and Bennett and Cutler. And you had a group that set records for the franchise that year where you really felt like they were humming. Keenan Allen, even at 32 years old and in his 12th NFL season, still feels the urge to prove himself, right? And that was a thing that he felt he checked that box with a pencil, at least in London against the Jaguars, because there was a stretch there where you're out with a new team and you haven't gotten off to the greatest start and you've been injured and people are wondering, does he still have it in him? The ability to contribute in that way meant something to Keenan Allen. And he talked a little bit about that on Wednesday afternoon in a line of questioning with our Mark Grody, just discussing the personal validation that that performance in London had for him.
How important was it for you to have those two touchdowns in the game and to get in the flow of this offense?
Yeah, it was big. Just to show that I'm, you know, still me. I can still make these plays and, you know, I'm on a different team, but I can still be the guy who I was.
You needed to prove that to yourself?
Not to myself, no. But, you know, for about five games there, it was looking like when's this guy going to come along and play too? So
you had to have been feeling that, right? Like a little bit, I don't know, panic's the right word, but I want to contribute.
Yeah, absolutely. Just like you said, want to contribute, be a part of the offense, be a part of the party, as I was saying, you know, just join the guys.
Well, Keenan Allen was definitely part of the party in London. We'll see if he can be part of the party in Washington and how much Caleb Williams and he can continue to build on the chemistry that they built in London. The second thing I'm going to be watching Sunday afternoon, studs, in Washington is how the Bears handle the Commanders' rushing attack. This is a group that, for as much hype and spotlight has been on their quarterback in the early parts of the season, their 5-2 start has been predicated on their ability to successfully run the football. We heard from Eric Washington on Thursday about the number of different things they do in their running game, whether it be inside zone, outside zone, various things schematically that they do to get their running backs and then their quarterbacks going with some zone read and some RPOs and things of that nature. You've got a very diverse rushing attack here, and you've got a running back in Brian Robinson Jr. who's been very, very productive through the first 2 months of the season and runs really, really hard. And so I think it's going to be fascinating to see how an improving Bears defense, a proven and improving Bears defense, handles that challenge on Sunday in Washington.
Yeah, you know, it's And I'm also curious to see if Jaden Daniels doesn't play, how that affects what they do. And it's not that Marcus Mariota can't run the ball effectively. He's not as athletic as he used to be. But I mean, especially when he was in college at Oregon, they ran a lot of these same concepts, like RPO stuff. So they're not afraid, I'm sure, to use him a little bit in the run game. He's not going to be the electrifying runner that Jaden Daniels is. Again, that's if they get Mariota instead of Jaden Daniels. So that could have an effect on the run game. But also, I mean, Cliff Kingsbury in the last game against the Panthers, when they found out after the first drive that Jaden Daniels was hurting, they called 8 straight run plays and scored a touchdown. So they can just pound the ball. Now, again, caveat against the Panthers, and you can pretty much do anything against the Panthers at this point. But you'd like to think they wouldn't be able to do that against the Bears. You'd like to think that you shouldn't be able to do that against any NFL team, realistically. But you'd like to think the Bears would be able to stop the run if you ran it 8 straight times at them and it wasn't a 4-minute situation where you're trying to grind clock. So, that's probably like the thing. This is the third, fourth week in a row where like the number one thing we're going to look at defensively. Like, I think we're pretty confident in the Bears secondary, even if they are without Kyler Gordon again and or Jaquan Brisker, that they can find a way to limit Washington's pass game. So it's going to come down to the running game, no matter who's playing quarterback.
No question about it. And Eric Washington was also straightforward on Thursday and talking about, look, like the offense doesn't change much depending on who's playing quarterback. Jaden Daniels and Marcus Mariota run a very similar system that they have flowing there in Washington under Cliff Kingsbury, but obviously they're different players. And so the ways that Jaden Daniels can threaten you with his legs are different than the way Marcus Mariota can. The experience that Marcus Mariota brings to the table is different than what Jaden Daniels brings. And so that may limit you in some ways in terms of the types of disguises and looks you use trying to trick a young quarterback that a guy with a full library of information can handle. So it'd be really interesting to see kind of how the running game makes whoever plays quarterback, assuming it's Mariota right now, comfortable, and if the Bears can make him uncomfortable and then force him to give the football away, now all of a sudden you've got the formula for the type of afternoon that the Bears have been enjoying now for the last several weeks, and we'll see if they can keep it going on Sunday in Washington. The last thing we're going to look at in our matchup here, Studs, is the coaching part of things. We can talk all about the decisions the Bears have made over the last few years. They had the choice between Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels. They chose Caleb Williams. In 2022, they had the choice on who they were going to hire as head coach. They chose Matt Eberflus. Dan Quinn was a finalist for that job in 2022. This offseason, after firing Luke Getsy, Matt Eberflus went out on a long West Coast-oriented trip to find his new OC, interviewed a whole bunch of people, hired Shane Waldron, but also talked at length with Cliff Kingsbury. So there's going to be a coaching comparison on Sunday. Quinn versus Eberflus, Waldron versus Kingsbury, both sides trying to play their various chess matches. Going to be fun to watch because we can always play that game of the sliding doors and what might have been and who's doing this better and who's doing this worse. And we'll see how it plays out for one afternoon anyway on Sunday in Landover, Maryland.
It is funny. Like I don't know if you know or have heard of the show What If. It's an MCU show on Disney Plus where they explore different alternative timelines within the MCU. And so that's what this is. Like this, the Washington Commanders are an alternate version of what the Bears could have been right now. And you know, whether or not it works out, you know, that a lot of this, like that they're having the success Washington's have, or you flip if Caleb went to Washington, if he's having success there, like there's a lot of what ifs, but I mean, yeah, like it's a really neat, I think, one game look at, hey, a lot of these guys could have ended up in the opposite place that they're at right now. And, you know, I remember actually when they were going through the hiring process where the Bears ended up with Matt Eberflus, I thought at one point they were going to hire Dan Quinn.
Yeah.
Because it looked like I was thinking they were going to go, you know, the Bears being
experienced,
what
defensive,
done,
established right, guy, yeah, right?
Yeah, well, and they would always go, you know, okay, we tried the guy that's not done it before. All right, now we got to go to the veteran guy. And, like, that's what they did with Trestman and then John Fox. It's like, okay, they had Nagy who hadn't done it, so they're going to go with the defensive guy who's done it before. And so Matt Eberflus was another first-time head coaching hire. So, yeah, that was – I remember actually thinking, like, I don't know if I would be comfortable with Dan Quinn. But, you know, I think Dan Quinn's a fairly competent to above competent head coach. And
look, he had
we'll see how it plays out.
Like, he had and, a 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl at one point, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, that's something you forget. Yeah, that's something you almost forget. Like, you almost forget about who the head coach of that Atlanta team was and who the offensive coordinator was for Atlanta. It was Kyle Shanahan, right? So, right. That was another what-if moment, right? We'll see. There's literally – all right, so I know this is an aside. There's literally – I randomly watched – sorry, did I cut you off there?
No, you're good.
There was just a real quick aside about that Atlanta – Patriots Super Bowl. I don't know if you ever watched the fourth quarter of that game again. There is literally one play that if Kyle Shanahan would have just run the ball, they probably win the game. Like, and instead they kept throwing the ball on like third and long when they had a 3-score lead still. So anyway, that's like that was just crazy. So what do we got next? Predictions?
Keep you up and eye. It's time for predictions. Yeah, let's dig into it.
All right. I guess I'll go first, right? So we'll go with I think that if you've been listening to how I've been talking so far, you probably have gleaned who I'm going to predict to win the game. But I am going to go with the Bears winning this game, partly because I don't think Jaden Daniels is going to play. Now, we have a disadvantage of recording this just in all honesty on Thursday afternoon. So we're not 100% sure that he's going to play, but I don't think he's going to play based on the trend so far. That, I believe, gives the Bears the better quarterback, the better defense, the better all offensive weapons, and the better team overall. It does suck that we're not, I think, not going to get the matchup that we thought we were going to get with these two young, exciting, and up-and-coming quarterbacks. But with all that being said, I think that the Bears find a way to control Washington's running game and have not as big a day passing as they have the last 2 weeks, but another good day passing the ball, moving the ball against Washington, and they win the game 28-17.
So I'm a bit uncomfortable, I'll be honest with you. And here's why I'm uncomfortable, because my entire MO is to see it to believe it. You've heard me say this for years on this podcast. You've seen me say it in other venues for years before that about the Chicago Bears. Prove it to me, and then I'll believe. Well, I'm going a different direction this week because the Bears are 3-16 on the road under Matt Eberflus, and they haven't shown you that they can play high-level football on the road at all over the last three seasons. Caleb Williams is a rookie quarterback. He's 0-2 in his first two road starts. He hasn't shown you that he can put together four consecutive high-level performances, clean performances against good opponents to get you there. There's enough pause there that the old me, the pre-2024 me, would have said, no way I can trust the Bears in this moment, in this type of game, under this type of spotlight, until they prove to me that they're worth trusting. Well, I'm going a different direction. I'm picking the Bears to win the football game 26-20, and it's just the latest vote of confidence that I'm offering in a football team that seems to understand how to take care of business when there's business to be taken care of. We saw how they did it against inferior opponents with the Panthers and the Jaguars. We've seen how they've responded after a rough offensive start in September. You heard me walking into week one say that I'm bumping my win projection up from 9-10 because of my belief in this locker room and their ability to handle adversity and stress in game during a week, during a month, whatever it may be. So this is me doing something I rarely do and saying, yeah, I believe in the Bears before they've shown me that they're fully worth believing in. Hopefully they don't let me down. But again, Bears 26, Commanders 20.
That is – all right, Dan, this is – not only is this an uncomfortable spot for you, it's uncomfortable for the host of the show that I produce on 670 The Score, Dan Bernstein. You and Bernstein are maybe more confident than I am in the Bears right now, which is a wild spot to be in. So like, welcome to the optimistic side. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's what
– it would be incredible to live here for 6, 7, 8 years. Whatever space that we're living in here, the optimistic space.
Yeah. It could be the start of something. We'll just say that. It could be the start of something. Like I always am so envious of those NFL teams and fans who follow the consistently really good NFL teams. Like, I don't know if anyone's ever going to get to where the Chiefs are at right now, but I just can't imagine the confidence they have on a week-to-week basis into any game. It's like, hey, they got Patrick Mahomes. We'll be fine.
You know, we've been 3.5 hours south of Aaron Rodgers for you know, a decade and a half. And we lived that experience of seeing, man, it must be nice to be in Green Bay and understand that you've got one of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game who gives you a chance every time you play. And so, yeah, maybe the Bears are on the verge of something like that. Maybe Caleb Williams truly is the long-awaited answer as the long-term QB1 who can unlock a sustained run of success. Sunday will certainly be a fun test to take, and we'll see how they handle it. And with that, let's close things up with our two-minute drill.
The two-minute drill.
Okay, Stud, so all eyes will be on the injury report on Friday afternoon when we get the official game designations for several players across the board. Very notable to me that long snapper Scott Daly was a full participant in practice when he returned to the field on Wednesday. Scott Daly left the game in London in the first half with what looked like a very serious knee injury. He was declared out really, really quickly after he got to the sideline, and you were led to believe that, man, this feels like it could be a very serious injury. The next time the Bears had a full practice, Scott Daly was a full participant, which, one, is music to Cole Kmet's ears, because that takes away some of those emergency long snapping duties for now. But then Jake McQuaid, who Mark Grody has kind of ribbed me for bringing up too often, had his name brought up in the conversation on Thursday when Richard Hightower sort of said, well, we'll see where Scott's at the end of the week. So even though he's been practicing in full, it didn't necessarily sound like they had given him 100% clearance to play on Sunday against the Commanders. We'll keep an eye on that as we get to the later part of Friday afternoon.
Right. And that's it's very interesting because I'm just looking at the injury report that Bears put out for Thursday afternoon, and Scott Daly, once again, a full participant. So that's interesting that you're saying that, you know, we'll still see where he's at the end of the week. And well, and at least they do have an actual backup plan and not just hope that Cole Kmet can get us through a game again. And I also do want to note, since we're on the injury report topic, Kyler Gordon and Jaquan Brisker did not practice again for the Bears, so their status very much in doubt for Sunday. But Terrell Smith, who has missed a lot of time, has Terrell Smith played yet this season? I can't remember if he was healthy week one or not.
And he was. Coming, he was definitely healthy. From a hip injury, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's practiced in full.
Yeah.
So he practiced in full. And Tyreek Stevenson limited once again. So he's probably going to be questionable, but we'll see. I feel good about Tyreek Stevenson. But that's the injury report for the DBs right there.
Yeah, the health of your secondary is going to be a big deal in this football game. We obviously have talked a lot about Jalen Jones and Josh Blackwell and Elijah Hicks and the job they did in London stepping in when needed. Richard Hightower, who's been close with all three of those guys as their special teams coordinator over the last few years, said that it gives him chills to see those guys seize on the opportunities they were given with the defense and not just have to be stuck as special teamers that contributed a high level. Hightower referred to it as graduating, you know, from just being a core special teamer to a guy that can really play at a high level on defense. And so those guys are still in that process. We'll see where they go. Another notable thing here, you mentioned Terrell Smith, a handful of other guys back in the mix at practice week includes Zach Pickens, Travis Homer, Larry Borum. Bears getting healthier in some key areas. Trade deadline approaching next week. We'll see how all of those things kind of swirl together and what it means for their roster as Ryan Poles has some big decisions and some things to explore as the Bears approach November.
So do you think that – I wanted to ask your thoughts on this because Larry Borum is back practicing in full, but he has not played at all this season and missed nearly all of training camp. Do you think that he will be activated for Sunday, or do you think he misses another game and comes back in a week?
Yeah, I think he misses another game. You don't really need him right now. You've had Karan Amagaji active. You've had him in for those jumbo packages that they've put in at certain points. You feel like he's a guy that can kind of emerge as your swing tackle as needed. You do know what the versatility that Matt Pryor has. They feel like they found a little bit of an answer on their offensive line with the current combination of five, which has excluded Nate Davis, as you know. And if anybody wants to trade for Nate Davis, including your flag football team, they need anybody, you can give Ryan Poles a call. He'd probably take some money for that trade offer, but I digress. But they feel like they've gotten an offensive line here now that is solidified and cohesive. And the hope is that you don't have to change that too much in the coming weeks.
Yeah. And I will say that in the flag football league I play in, you're not allowed to block at all. So I don't know if we have much use for a right guard. I mean, if he's fast enough, we'll take him. But take a pro football player. But the Nate Davis thing, the last thing I want to touch on, do you think that when we talk this time a week from now, he's on this team anymore? Because we'll be past the trade deadline by this time next week.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anyone's trading for him. Now it's a matter of what the Bears need to do with their roster mechanics to handle the 53-man roster. And if right. they need a spot, he could be a casualty cut here. And that wouldn't surprise anybody that's been following this closely. And so the days are numbered, whether it's this time next week, this time 2 weeks, this time in 3 weeks. We'll see kind of what their offensive line health and situation looks like. But I don't think you're going to see a lot more of Nate Davis on the football field with the Chicago Bears anytime soon.
Yeah, and I agree. I don't think I didn't want to insinuate anyone's going to be trading for him. I don't think anyone's trading for him. I'm with you on that. Like, I was more insinuating, do you think he's going to get cut? Because I have a feeling he might be. So, yeah, that's going to be something to keep an eye on.
Very last thing, Shane Waldron met with the media on Thursday, and while he did talk about kind of the description of what goes on with their starts to games and whether they use a script, whether they use priority calls or situational starters or openers, whatever you want to call them. He said that one of the more notable tweaks that has been made since the season started is the in-game communication that the coaches and the players got together, sort of ironed out the mechanics of how they do things. He talked about letting everyone decompress when a drive is over for a short span and then getting together and getting on the tablets and figuring out what types of discussions need to be had. There seems to be a healthy back and forth really over the first month and a half of the season with this football team of trying to figure out what works and what works best for everybody. And there's some years where you go, man, they're really grasping. This is one of those years where it just feels like there is a problem solving knack amongst this group to try to find the right flow of everything. And they understand their opportunity here to become a winning football team and a contending football team. And they're not leaving a lot to chance. And so that's a credit to the coaching staff for being open-minded, the leadership of this team for feeling empowered and comfortable speaking up, and we'll see what it results in. The Bears have not started well in a single game this season. I think we mentioned earlier in the week they came into to week eight as the third worst scoring team in the first quarter, 10 total points in the first quarter through the first six games. That's got to change, and so maybe they can find some sort of formula to get off to a quick start Sunday at Northwest Stadium.
Yeah, it really is. You know, you want to talk about being uncomfortable like we were earlier. It's almost uncomfortable to hear about a Bears team having healthy and productive in-season conversations that result in good things happening, like result in things getting fixed. I feel like a year ago, 2 years ago, when we see the offense start the way it did, we'd still be talking about it. But here we are, you know, a month and a half after we saw all those struggles, and they got something figured out, and we'll see if it continues. And you know, shout out to the Eagles for still not scoring a point in the first quarter this season. That is an impressive feat.
it's hard to fathom, particularly given the weapons they have, right? Like, this isn't just a bottom feeding offense devoid of talent. You've got Saquon Barkley and AJ Brown and Jalen Hurts and Devontae Smith, and somehow you haven't scored a point in the first quarter. So that is a feat, and we'll see where they go. I will just say this little footnote on what you just said there. You know, this organization has had a bad reputation for embracing failure and saying, boy, did we handle our struggles with such grace, and man, were we together through the six game losing streak. And my argument was always the whole point of having sort of resilience and unity and the ability to troubleshoot is so that the losing streak never gets to six, that it gets to two and you find a solution to the problem and then it stops there and then you get on a little bit of a roll. Well, now the Bears are dealing with the other part of things. They've won three in a row. They've got a chance to go put together a four-game winning streak here when they go out to Washington with a matchup that they are favored in. Jaden Daniels' health still out there. And so, man, you talk about a moment of opportunity, Studs. This feels like a big one on Sunday.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely does. And, you know, look, regardless of who's a quarterback, whatever, you know, they go out there and they get the job done on Sunday and they go to 5-2. Now you're not just talking about like hoping, you're talking about how do they get to the playoffs from here. And so if we are reconvening next week or on Sunday if they're at 5-2, that'll be a spot this podcast has never been in before, which is talking about a real winning football team that has real hopes for something for this season to really matter.
Yeah, we'll be going into a very pivotal November with a team that clearly has direction and momentum and all the things that you want in a football team. So that checks about just about every box we had for this episode of Take the North. That's Adam Studzinski. I'm Dan Wiederer. Mark Grody will be with us again very soon. Looking forward again to Sunday's matchup against the Commanders. We'll have more content coming for you in the days ahead at the Take the North podcast. Remember to follow us on Twitter at Take the North Pod, and keep following along as the Bears get ready to go to Washington for a big game against the Commanders. That's Adam Studzinski. I'm Dan Wiederer. Great talk. See you out there.
Thank you, everybody. The Bears.